Welcome back to another episode of Too Much Pod Tar. As today, I'm gonna have we have a special guest on the show, our very own Jamie Gatlin. He's been on the show plenty of times before. He actually got to interview Kevin Kramer of the Pittsburgh Pirates. So, you know, Jamie, do you want to talk about about the interview a little bit and preview it?
Yes, I had the pleasure of talking with Kevin Kramer, who is he's an infielder for the Pirates. He's appeared in 40 games during 2018 and 2019. And last year he had hip surgery, so he didn't play in the shortened season. I kind of just talked to him about his experience in the majors so far, getting called up, making his major league debut, and kind of what to expect from the Pirates this season and how he's been preparing to earn a spot in spring training.
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool. It's great that you were able to reach out to him and get him on. So that could maybe potentially open up some other opportunities for us and at prime time in this podcast and everything. So, yeah, everybody take a listen to that interview, and we'll be back with more stuff after. So, yeah, stay tuned.
Yeah. Pirates fans get a little love with that one.
He's got too much pine tar.
Sloppy jalopy. They were doing the Chris Davis fishing for it.
Might be going to call George Brett out.
Well, he is. He's out.
Yes, sir.
Brett is out. Look at this. Brett is out.
And he's steaming mad.
He is out and having to be forcibly restrained from hitting plate umpire Tim McClellan.
Too much pot tar.
way too much pot tar.
Hey Kevin, how are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking the time.
Absolutely, man. My pleasure.
How's your 2021 been so far?
Good. You know, we're just kind of finishing up training, PT. You know, obviously everyone's getting ready to go. So, it's been good to us, and we're excited to get back and get to the season.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it. So, I just have 10 questions for you, kind of about your career so far, and then a little bit some minor league stuff too.
Sure. Fire away.
So my first one is, what are some of the biggest differences you found between the minors and the majors?
Well, I mean, I don't think anything can fully prepare you for the big leagues as far as playing against the best players every single day. And I think the difference, in my opinion, from my experiences so far, is just that they, in the big leagues, they will try to exploit your weaknesses, and until you prove that those weaknesses are no longer weaknesses, they just keep going after it. You know, so the scouting reports on you as a hitter are more detailed. They know, they have more conviction of what they're trying to do. They're going to play their game as long as they can until you prove to them that they need to adjust. And I don't think that the game is crazy faster, or that younger guys get overwhelmed. I think it's just, if there's a hole in your game or a hole in something that you may not do as well as other things, they go after it and they don't stop until you prove that you can, so you can counter them. So I think that's probably the biggest difference in my opinion. I mean, obviously I've had, limited experience, coming off the bench, and, you don't get many chances, against the best pitchers in the world, and you really have to take advantage of, if they make a mistake, you really have to take advantage of that. So I think for me in my career, with where I've been, like I said, I haven't had too many at-bats in the big leagues, but it's just simply you know, when I got a good pitch to hit, you know, I didn't connect. And, you know, these pitchers are not going to make that many mistakes. And if you don't take advantage of their mistakes, then, you know, they're going to put you away. And, like I said, try to exploit your weaknesses.
Yeah. So that first time you got called up, I bet that's a day you'll never forget. So what was, you know, what was that process like, you know, getting that news that, you know, you'd be a Pirate and be in the majors?
Yeah, I mean, it was, so I got called up at the end of 2018. We had finished the season in Louisville with Indianapolis, and I wasn't sure if I was going up or not because we were, you know, the Pirates were in an interesting spot with a bunch of good players that they still obviously needed to get playing time to and at bats. I had a really good finish to the end of the year, and but you know, it doesn't matter. It's not a guarantee if you have a good year that you're going to get called up. And we had finished the season in Louisville, like I said, it was a day game, and we were packed up, ready to go, ready to travel back west, because obviously you're not banking on getting called up. That obviously, if it happened like it did, it was going to be amazing. But so yeah, we finished up the game. Everyone was, you know, saying goodbye and good luck. And see you next year. See you down the road, you know, for minor league free agent guys. And then, you know, the manager called me in the office and said, hey, look, you know, we talked a lot about this throughout the year. And, you know, you're finally going to have a chance to go out and prove, you know, what kind of player you are. Obviously, it was awesome for me to have my wife there with me in Louisville. And just to be able to have that experience with her was phenomenal. And then, you know, when I got up to Pittsburgh, most of my family had met me there, and they were able to be there for that pretty much that whole first week. So that was special in itself too.
Yeah. So what was, you know, that kind of that first game like? Was it kind of like a whirlwind, or just like how was, you know facing major league pitching that first time?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my debut was a pinch hit. I guess it was against the Reds, and you know, I felt pretty calm. To be honest, I mean, everything around me was crazy. Just being a young guy, and you know, obviously coming to Pittsburgh and playing there for the first time, everything around me was crazy. But I felt like a weird calm when I got up to the plate the first time. And, you know, just to be able to realize your dream and, yeah. And know that the work that you put in, you know, paid off. Because you know, regardless of how guys' careers go. You know, if you have one at bat in the big leagues, or if you're ever on a big league roster, like, no one can ever take that away from you. So, it was a pretty cool experience. I got the pinch hit on a Wednesday, and then we had a day off on Thursday, and then I got my first start on Friday. And the first start was really cool. You know, obviously it was nice to get the jitters out of the way with a pinch hit. But, you know, looking back now, it's like, man, I pinch hit, I went 0-for-1, you know, everyone wants the fairy tale where they get the first hit and their first at bat, and, you know, never look back and play in the big leagues for 12 years. Well, I mean, for me, that's not my story, and that's all right. Everyone's got a really cool journey, and everyone's unique in that. But the first start for me was really, really cool. You know, I had Jordy Mercer at short, and I was playing second, and he was just kind of talking me through the game and just, you know, hey, man, like, good luck, go get them, have fun. And we had some pretty cool veterans on that team that kind of just really took all of us young guys under their wing and, you know, made sure that we were doing all right, making sure that, you know, baseball was the main thing and not getting caught up on any other stuff. Because it's easy to get distracted, you know, it's a whole different world. And, but, like I said, it was a really cool experience. And, you know, to have my family there with me was obviously awesome because they all helped me get there just as much as I helped myself get there, you know, with training and stuff like that. So, really cool experience and, you know, obviously something I'll never forget.
Yeah. I've read that was against Miami, right?
Yeah, I got my first hit off of Straley.
Yeah, I read that you had, I think you had like a game-time double. You went 2-for-4 that night, so you definitely made the best of your first career start.
Absolutely.
So, you know, Ben Sherrington took over a couple of years ago or 2 years ago, and he's known for building up, you know, farm systems like he did in Toronto. Have you noticed a difference in how the Pirates have approached developing, you know, prospects kind of like yourself since he became the GM?
Well, you know, 2020 was weird, obviously, for everyone in the baseball world. I actually missed the whole year last year as recovering from hip surgery. So as far as, you know, my interactions with Ben, it's been pretty limited to that first couple of weeks of spring training before the shutdown. You know, obviously, with where we're at and where we're moving, you know, trading away some guys and getting prospects, I mean, I haven't really, you know, obviously as players, like, we're the players,
yeah.
Their management, you know, they're doing what they think is best for the franchise. And, you know, all I can say is I'm questions with Ben and Sheltie. And really, everyone that has come in has been nothing but positive, and they really are just stressing that they want the best for the player, and if they can put us in a better position as far as, you know, developing, and not only developing as a prospect, but also developing as a big league ball player, that's their main focus, and that is something that all of us, you know, welcomed when they took over.
So, you know, you mentioned you're coming back from injury. So have you been preparing for this season with Corona and having to, you know, kind of adjust how you would, compared to how you would normally prepare?
You know, for me, I've been rehabbing for pretty much 9 months. So, you know, it's been a lot of physical therapy. I pretty much had a normal off season though, as far as timing of when I had my surgery. So, you know, other than wearing a mask in the PT clinic and training, like, I've had a pretty normal-ish off season. You know, like I said, when you get hurt and you're coming back, and you get a little bit more time to kind of build your body back. So, as far as that, I'm in a better position now than I've been in a long time, simply because I've had more time.
Yeah.
You know, in a typical off season, you get usually take a couple weeks off in October, and then, you know, get after it from November to mid February. You know, that's a long time, but at the same time, it's not that much time to really take a deeper look at some things that I've been able to with my hip rehab. So I've made the most of my time, and I'm ready to go out and you know, show what I can do.
Yeah. So, you know, is there anything from your first two major league stints that you've kind of planned to use to help secure a spot, you know, in spring training and for the upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, I've learned so much from a lot of different guys, and I've learned a lot about myself. I'm in a better spot, you know, not only physically, but also more importantly, mentally, you know, going into 2021. I've had a lot of different experiences. I'm a 27-year-old guy with a little bit of service time coming off a hip rehab or a hip surgery. And, you know, I think I've learned a lot over the years. Obviously, any time that you miss a season and you have, you know, an injury like I did, and the ability to kind of take a step back and figure out, you know, what I want moving forward out of this career and out of my life, I think, you know, I have a lot of clarity on what I want and how I want to go about it. And, you know, like I said, you kind of get a little bit of a refresher as far as, you know, being super grateful for the game and what it's done for you. And I think for me, you know, going into 2021, I just need to go out there and show that I'm healthy. And I truly believe that if I show that I'm healthy and, you know, show the things that I've been working on over the past couple of years, and if I go and do that, like, I'm gonna be at peace with what happens. And, you know, I know that I put in the work, and I know that I've taken the time to work on myself, not only as a person, but as a baseball player, and I'm in a really good spot. And now it's just time to go out and do it. You know, it's time to go out and show what kind of a player I can be. And I firmly believe that I'm in a better spot now, and if I go out there and compete like I know how to, I feel like the rest will kind of take care of itself.
Yeah. So as you know, the Pirates have been busy training guys this offseason. Does that kind of motivate you, knowing that there's more opportunity at the major league level, you know, for guys, for young prospects kind of like yourself?
Well, it's a fine line, right? Because you want to make sure that you're focused on yourself, and you want to make sure that, you know, you're focused on what you can control. And at the end of the day, like, I can't control whether Ben, you know, trades guys or not. And on the flip side of that, yeah, I mean, obviously with trading some really key players, that opens up opportunity, but it opens up opportunity for everyone.
Yeah.
And, you know, going into 2021, Shelty, our manager, has talked about that there's going to be a lot of opportunity, and that should excite everyone. There's not one guy that should be going into spring training, you know, discouraged by what's been going on. And that's when I think people become their best, is when they know that, you know, it's a competitive atmosphere, and, you know, all of us as athletes just want to be able to go out and compete every day, and I think everyone should be encouraged by that, because that's what this game is. You know, it's a daily competition with yourself and with the other team, and I think we're all very comfortable with that environment, and it's going to be a fun spring for everyone to come in and, you know, come in with their hair on fire and see where it takes us.
Yeah. So what is your favorite memory from your major league stint so far?
It's a good question. You know, I think, like I said, I've had a little bit of a taste in the big leagues, not enough to where I'm like, you know, I can list off all the accolades and stuff like that, or all these really, really cool moments. But I think for me, just being able to go up and debut and have my family in the stands and have some really, really close friends in the stands, that's always going to be a highlight of my career, whether I play for, you know, 10 more years or not. And, you know, for me, it's obviously really special to get to the big leagues, but it was even more special for me to be able to share that experience with people who have helped me get there. And I think that's the one thing that I keep going back to as far as, you know, how grateful I am and how lucky I've been to go to the places and to see the places that I've been. And that's kind of the overarching theme for me and just my overall journey, you know?
Yeah.
Yep, so that was the interview there with Kevin Kramer. So hope you guys enjoyed that. Up next, you know, Jamie's joining me again here as we talk about some free agent signings that happened recently, and also, you know, of course, on Wednesday, Andrew Benintendi, the Red Sox traded him. So we'll dive into that. I guess actually we can start off there, and the Andrew Benintendi trade, since that was the latest thing that happened. You know, pretty big trade, 3-team trade between the Mets, Red Sox, and Royals, which was kind of surprising to see a team like the Royals make a move like that. But, you know, they're trying to go for it. I think they're a young team that can maybe potentially make some noise in the AL Central, because they're, you know, you got the Twins still in there, but the Indians are going to fall off. So I can see the Royals making some noise with their young guys there.
Yeah.
So, what was your initial reaction to the trade?
You know, I wasn't surprised. Kind of the Benintendi rumors have been out there all off season. I mean, I think it's a good deal for the Royals. You know, he's a guy that, if he bounces back, he can help, you know, accelerate their rebuild. And I think for him to regain his form, it wasn't going to happen in Boston. You know, in Kansas City, there's less media pressure. You know, so he can really focus on getting back to what he was in 2018. And, you know, the Sox, they got five prospects in total, three guys to be named later. I saw some stuff today that those pieces should be significant prospects or, you know, decent prospects. So, you know, I mean, I'd wish the Sox held on to him until the deadline and maybe saw his value go back up. But it's kind of felt like a move that was, you know, that's been in the makings for a while now.
Yeah, I agree. I think they probably would have ended up moving him at some point. Even if it wasn't now, it definitely would have been by the deadline or earlier. But yeah, that's looking at the full deal. I mean, the full players involved, besides, of course, you just said the three players to be named later. Frankie Cordero is the main piece going to the Red Sox, which is a pretty... He's a pretty high ceiling prospect. I think I kind of like him. He definitely has a lot of potential, and somebody I liked watching when he was on. He was on the Padres a couple years ago, before he was traded from them. So I kind of like that. And Josh, right-handed pitcher Josh Winkowski. Which I believe he came from the Mets in the trade, and then the Mets get outfield prospect from the Royals, Khalil Lee. So those are the names that are known right now. So kind of a out of nowhere trade. I didn't expect it to happen like that, but like we saw, like the first report was that the Royals were in talks to acquire Benintendi, but. And then the Mets kind of seemed like they swooped in there and got involved with it.
Yeah, I was surprised. Yeah, I was surprised too. That was a three-team, you know, a three-team deal. And the Royals kind of, you know, surprised me with being involved.
Yeah, if anything, I thought maybe the Mets would have been the ones to try to trade for him, because they're in need of another outfielder. So. And they're, you know, much more in position to, you know, get to the playoffs. I mean, make a run in the playoffs. Because the Royals, they even though I said they could potentially make noise, they're not going to – I don't think they will make the playoffs. So the Mets are obviously primed to make a run since they made all these moves this offseason. So.
Royals could be a sleeper in KC.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we'll see what happens with, you know, Benintendi. He's see if he can bounce back. You know, that this last year wasn't great, but before that he was a pretty good player. It's kind of funny as a Yankees fan that back when he was, you know, coming up, people were kind of comparing him to Judge, but he never lived up to that, like, being able to be as great as a player as Judge is. I don't think he will ever be. Well, yeah, I think he can definitely get to a level where he's a decent enough player and give the Royals something, at least, like a everyday outfielder and, you know, somewhere around, like, 260, 20 home runs, 85 RBIs, somewhere around there would be definitely a good thing for the Royals.
Yeah, I mean, I think he fits in, you know, he fits in well with them regardless.
Yeah.
And they get him for 2 years, too. It's not like 1 year they get him, you know, for two. So it's a good gamble. I mean, it's a good gamble kept by KC.
Yeah, I mean... He's only 25, so he definitely fits well with the other young guys they have coming up. You know, the pitching, especially, they have a lot of good pitching that's coming up. You know, Jackson Kolar is one of them. Can't think of any others at the top of my head, but, you know, they got, of course, Horace Soler there as well, who, you know, just hit 45 bombs a couple years ago, so... They got a good team. They might have some growing pains, but I think they can definitely end up making the playoffs within a few years.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, with that in mind, let's try to. I actually want to try to predict what their record would be. Let's see. I'm gonna look up their odds, what their record, their odd record odds. Let's see. So where the hell did I find it?
I know the Sox came in today, were, I think, predicted to go 80 and 82. Royals.
Let's see. I guess, it was the Pecota projected win total of them that was released a couple days ago. Let's see. It was... can't find it. Okay, here we go. I got it. Pecota is projecting them to have 71 wins. So 71 and what would that be? 71 and 92.
Yeah.
So I think that's a decent number. I think I can definitely see that.
Yeah, that's probably what I would predict too for them.
If I was gonna go over, if I was gonna predict if they would go over or under that, I'd probably say maybe slightly over 72. I'd maybe say.
Yeah.
The Red Sox, like you said, 80 and 82 is their projection. I think I'm gonna go under for them. I don't see them doing that great. I think they might go like 10 games under 500 or even less.
Yeah. I mean, for them pitching, they get Rodriguez and Sale back, but, they both just missed a year. And Garrett Richards also. I mean, Richards is a good pitcher, but he's had his injury issues in his career so far, too.
Yeah. And the team with the lowest projection is the Rockies, 60 and 102. So I definitely agree with that. I think they'd be the worst team in baseball.
I think Pittsburgh is only supposed to be like a game better.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 61 and 101 for them. They're definitely both of them are definitely the worst teams in baseball. Yeah, so these Pecota projections, they have the Yankees winning the East, AL East, Tampa Bay finishing in second still, and then Toronto third, Boston fourth, of course Baltimore fifth, and then the Central, you got the Twins, they have the Twins winning. And they actually still have Cleveland in second. And then the White Sox third, KC fourth, and of course Detroit fifth. So those are the two divisions there that involve, the Red Sox, Royals involved in this trade. And I could definitely see it playing out like that. The AL East, they have the Rays winning, Rays being in second just a couple games ahead of the Blue Jays. So, yeah, Blue Jays can definitely make a run. They can definitely give the Yankees and Rays some issues.
I like the Blue Jays a lot this year.
What was that?
I like the Blue Jays a lot this year.
Oh, yeah. They're looking good. I think, they still need some pitching, but their lineup's going to be sick.
Yeah.
And just to roll down some of the other divisions, they have the Astros projected to win the AL West, NL East. They have the Mets. And they actually have the Nationals in second and the Braves in fourth. So, they have the Mets winning by 10 games, which is not – that's surprising to me. I I think it's going to be a lot closer than that. Between, I think the top four teams, or even I can even see the Marlins being in the hunt as, again. So I could see all five teams being in like a tight race.
Yeah, I think that division is going to be the most entertaining to watch in baseball.
Oh yeah, it's not. I don't think it's even close. That's like the one division that has that every team could be in the hunt for the playoffs.
The Marlins surprised last year, so maybe they can do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. And then they got their new GM, Kim, there. So I think she's going to be good for sure. And then the Central is surprising as well. They have the Brewers winning, Cubs in second and Cardinals in third. Which I would probably switch that, or not switch it, but I would switch. I would put Seattle. I mean, not Seattle. I would put St. Louis first, and Milwaukee. I probably would switch both two of them, but I think I could see the Cubs still finishing second and Milwaukee third, but the Cardinals winning the division.
Yeah, I mean, with the Arenado deal, I don't see how the Cardinals don't. You know, don't win that, because I feel like everyone else in the division haven't, you know, had any big additions.
Yeah, they've just had subtractions.
So. Like the Cubs have lost. You know, the Cubs have just lost people.
Yeah, so I don't really see how they can have them. Well, I could see how they have them finishing second, but I mean, even you know, looking at the Brewers, I don't think did anything either.
Yeah,
but I don't. Who did they lose? Who did they have? I forget who the free agents were.
That's a good question. Oh, didn't they have? Never mind. Jeffries was not there anymore.
Oh, yeah. I can't think of anybody who they lost either. So they might. I think they might, if they didn't lose, I don't think they lost too much. So I think they have a better chance of finishing second over the Cubs, since they pretty much are the same team as last year. But yeah. You never know if they try to move Hader or something. But I think him, they'll probably wait it out and see how close they are in the race, and then maybe move him at the deadline. I don't know. And he's like the same. He's similar to Arenado. We've heard like the last few years, like, oh, Hader's gonna be moved. Hader's gonna be moved, and then nothing ever happened.
Yes, they'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah. But, and then NL West, of course, they have the Dodgers winning, Padres in second, 96 wins. And then Arizona, San Francisco, Colorado. So,
I mean, even with the, you know, the moves the Padres made with the Dodgers adding Bauer, I just don't see how, you know, anyone overtakes them. I think it'll be close between, you know, between the Dodgers and the Padres, but
yeah,
I don't know how, you know, anyone would knock off LA.
Yeah, I don't think it won't happen this year, but it could potentially happen next year, you know, years moving forward. But this year it'll still be the Dodgers. But it's going to be fun. The series are going to be fun between them.
Yeah.
But I mean, next year, especially with Clevinger coming back, it'll definitely be even more interesting.
I know Padres, they get to, you know, add him without having to give up anybody.
No. It's insane. So yeah, let's talk about some free agents that were signed now over the last couple days. 3 days ago, the Cardinals re-signed Yadier Molina to a 1-year deal, $9 million. So he's back home, and I think he'll probably end up retiring as a Cardinal. I mean, I think it's only right that he does. You know, he's kind of one of those players that just has – he wouldn't look right in a different uniform. So I definitely want to see him finish his career there.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't picture him anywhere else. That was one when I, you know, saw that he was going back. I wasn't surprised at all. I felt like that was kind of, you know, like you said, everyone kind of knew that that's where he was going to end up regardless.
Yeah. And they also brought back Wainwright, and that's another guy I think that will probably end up finishing there.
Yeah. Those two are go hand in hand.
Oh, pretty much, yeah. They're like not to compare these players, but it's kind of like the Mariano and Jeter of the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Some other moves. Cubs signed Jake Marisnyk, which is an interesting move that they signed him after, you know, trading Hayward. So they're kind of similar players in my opinion. So I kind of weird that they would move on from one and then get another one similar. And it kind of seems weird the way that what they're doing right now is like, I don't know what they're trying to do, try to accomplish. I mean, obviously they're trading away. They're probably going to trade away Bryant and other things, trade away maybe Contreras and other guys. And I don't know. It's weird. I don't know what they're doing, really.
Yeah, that one, I mean, that one didn't really make any sense to me. Because if they were, you know, if they were, but that one, yeah, that one, I didn't really understand.
Yeah. It's like they're kind of in between. Like they're not sure if they're rebuilding or if they're going for it. And then, I mean, I don't know why, like, it seems like every team in that division is just like, they're at that position. Well, besides the Pirates, but nobody in the division is making a move. So they're only just subtracting. Why can't one team, like, they see all these other teams just not doing anything. So why don't they want to go for it? Right. Because that's your opportunity. When other teams aren't doing anything, that's when you do something. It's just, I don't know. Baseball is just weird that way. Like, I don't get it. All these owners that have so much money in their pockets and they want to try to, they act like small market teams when they're even not. Because Chicago's not a small market. I don't understand.
Yeah. I mean, especially with the extensions they gave out, you know, to Bryant and some other guys when they were, you know, at the height a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just so weird. Let's see. Some of the moves. Oh, here's an interesting one. I didn't even see this. The Rockies, you know, speaking on the Rockies, they actually signed Greg Bird, former Yankee legend Greg Bird, to a minor league deal. You know, I've kind of always rooted for him. I want him to succeed. I never, you know, he never did too much damage with the Yankees, but he was always kind of a guy who was like, you know, we kind of felt bad for him that he didn't get much of a chance. But I think if he can stay healthy, I think he can be okay.
Yeah, I mean, he'll definitely, you know, have an opportunity there with where the Rockies are at.
Yeah. Yeah, because their first base situation is kind of shaky right now.
Yeah. So, okay. I mean,
who do they even have at first? I don't know.
That is a good question. I do not know off the top of my head.
What's today? On Thursday, the Dodgers, the Trevor Bauer signing became official, and they, to make room for Bauer on the roster, they designated Josh Swartz for assignment. So I don't know who that is, but I mean, obviously, it doesn't matter because it's Bauer.
Yeah.
They have to make room for him. So,
yeah. I was surprised. I really thought he was gonna go to the Mets there for a second.
Yeah, but I thought so. Well, Bob Nightingale tricked us all again.
He did. He has a talent for that.
Yeah. I feel like he knows what's going to happen, and he just decides to tweet the opposite.
He's like, about that.
And let's see. There's also some rumblings about the Mets. Speaking of Chris Bryant, the Mets and being interested in going for him. But they've engaged in some more extensive talks lately.
I would love that.
So, I mean, the Mets are definitely trying to go for it. They, you know, if they get him and after getting Lindor, that's going to be an insane left side of the infield. Holy shit. Yeah. I can't.
The NL is just going for it this year or this offseason.
Yeah. You know, and even though he had his worst season to date last year, but I take anything that happened last year with a grain of salt because it was the worst year ever. I mean, so any like I take everything with baseball, with life, with anything with a grain of salt. Like I don't even count that year. That didn't count. We're in a new year now.
Yeah.
So throw everything out. I think he'll return to form for sure, wherever he is.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he didn't.
Yeah. And also your Red Sox signed Marwin Gonzalez, which was a pretty good move for them. It helps their... Now he'll definitely help their depth and their like at every infield position. So I definitely like that for them.
Yeah, I mean he adds pop to the bench. Another, I feel like they're kind of going for veterans, with upside that other teams might be taking for granted. I mean Gonzalez hit, I think it was 211 last year. I mean he's still a 270 career hitter. So, you know, off the bench, that's not a bad bat to have.
Oh. Yeah, and I remember a couple years ago, before the Yankees signed DJ LeMahieu, he was somebody that people were talking about him signing him. I mean, no offense to him, but I'm glad the Yankees stuck with LeMahieu instead. But
yeah.
Still a decent guy.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of 2013 when the Sox loaded up on veterans. You know, with Gomes and Victorino that had low-risk, high-reward type of guys.
Yeah. Let's see. Another signing was interesting move. Ken Giles to the Mariners for a 2-year deal. He's coming off Tommy John surgery, so he's not going to be able to pitch in 2021. But so that's why they signed him to 2 years. So then, when he's back in 2022, he'll be there, of course, and ready to go. So I kind of feel maybe. The reason why it was the Mariners, because nobody else was willing to take a chance on him after coming off of TJ. So, I mean, it was probably his only, it was probably one of his only options, if not the only one. So, you know, he'll take what he can get.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at times when he's healthy, he's been, you know, a decent reliever. Yeah. You know, he's kind of has years when he's, you know, off and on. Like last year, he had 9.82 ERA, but, you know, the year before that, 1.87. So, you know, if he can come back in 2022 and be like the guy he was in 2019 and kind of his earlier days in Houston, then it's a good, you know, it's a good sign for the Mariners, especially if, you know, they're still rebuilding. You know, next year he's back to form. They could always flip him at the deadline for prospects.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I mean, they're not necessarily a bad team. They're not, you know, not a rock. They're not the Rockies. They're not the Pirates. So they're definitely in better position, especially with prospect wise. They have a lot of guys that are going to be coming up soon, and you know, joining Kyle Lewis, who was the Rookie of the Year last year. So I definitely see a good future for them. You know, especially if we can have Giles come back in 22 and, you know, perform, and then, you know, like you said, flip them potentially at the deadline and then get more prospects. I think they can make the playoffs finally again, you know, break their playoff drought in maybe 5 years, something like that. Some other rumblings, you know, as we record this, maybe something will happen, you know, before, as you're listening to this, with what's going on with this. The Rays are close to a deal with Colin McHugh, which is, like we talked about before the show, very, you know, Tampa Bay-esque move. So he's had elbow issues affect him the last couple of years. He was with the Red Sox last year, but he was not healthy enough to pitch. But he's, now his history before, when he's healthy, he's very good. So he was really good with the Mets. So I think, you know, if he comes back healthy, I think he can be a solid pickup for the Rays.
Yeah, and he's a guy who I was excited when the Sox signed him last year. You know, because like you said, he's a solid piece, whether it's in the rotation or in the bullpen, to give you depth. So it seems like the perfect, you know, Tampa move, a guy coming off an injury or coming off a down year, going there on a one-year deal. And, you know, after Morton leaving free agency and Snell getting traded, he's definitely going to have an opportunity to get some innings there.
Yeah. Honestly, wouldn't you be surprised if, you know, the Rays, like, going after guys that are coming off injuries. I wouldn't be surprised to see them go after James Paxton, even since they have, you know, they traded Snell, they lost Morton. They need maybe another pitcher in there, and I can definitely see them trying to get, you know, a cheap deal for him. You know, coming off injury, he's not going to be too expensive. So I can see them trying to taking a flyer on him and potentially, you know, turning him around, because he's a decent pitcher when he's healthy. So I think that would be a pretty good move, and I would not like it at all as a Yankees fan, but as a baseball fan, it's definitely intriguing.
Yeah, I mean, they signed Michael Wacha, yeah, this free agent, so, you know, there could be a couple interesting bounce back candidates there for the Rays.
Yeah. And speaking of bounce back candidates, I think mine for this year is going to be Gary Sanchez. I talked about this before on the show. But I think he's going to have a fire under him this year. I think he's going to come out strong and prove a lot of haters wrong. You know, actually start to work way better than he has. You know what he did last year. It seemed like he wasn't all there, so I think he can do a lot of good this year.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's not, you know, a lot of other players in baseball that have as much to prove as him, I feel like.
Yeah. But that's pretty much all the rumors and, you know, signings that happened. Not sure what else we can talk about.
Yeah. I mean, but knowing how baseball is going, is, you know, as soon as we sign off this, probably will be a blockbuster trade within like 10 minutes after.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, yeah. I mean, as you're listening to this, maybe something else happened, but now it's always kind of sucks when it doesn't happen during it or, you know, before, so we can talk about it. But if something does happen, hopefully I can try to report something after.
Yeah. Hey, basically, spring training's in like 2 weeks, so
yeah,
would not be surprised.
Yeah, it's exciting. We're getting ready to start the year, and you know, just yesterday, I think it was, or a couple of days ago, they announced that they can have 10% capacity at New York stadiums, or I think it was 10%. So, you know, Yankee Stadium could end up having, or probably end up having fans by opening maybe 20% capacity by opening day. So, it's a good sign. I think we're working our way towards getting closer to normal.
Yeah, I thought today too. The TD Garden is going to start allowing fans probably sometime in March. You know, since New York announced that they're going to as well.
Yeah, MSG is going to be having fans as well. So.
It's a little getting closer to normalcy here.
Yeah. And of course, you know, even if you get a vaccine and everything, you still have to wear a mask. So there's still going to be people wearing masks at games and all that stuff. But hopefully at some point we won't have to do it. But for now, we still have to just to be safe. So, I mean, you can never be too safe.
Yeah. Very, very good.
It's just, it's like crazy to think about, like, this was almost a year ago now that this started. I never would have believed that it would be still, like, we would still be going on with this.
I know. It feels like it's never ending.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on anymore.
We'll see.
But I think that's going to do it here. We don't really have much else to go over for now, but once another move happens and another big trade, we'll come back on and talk about it.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah. So, and there's exciting things that are going to be happening shortly for the, you know, primetime sports talk. We got some things that we're working on, coming out with soon. So stay tuned for that, and keep staying in tune to this podcast. So try to get episodes out as often as possible. You know, have Jamie on, have the other guys on, like Joey and Johnny and Gio, and hopefully have Soupy on again at some point. He hasn't been on in a while, but hopefully find a time for some of the other guys, you know. And then I'll have trying to get some guests as well, some other guests. You know, as Jamie interviewed Kevin Kramer, hopefully we can potentially have some other interviews on here. So that'll be exciting if we can have that start get going. But yeah, thanks for listening as always, and we'll be back very soon. So stay tuned, and you can never have too much pod tar.
That's true.
And I'm not proud of my address. Pod tar is so essential,
especially during these times. You can't go without it.